I am so proud of each of you. As you've been conducting your evangelistic series these last 5 nights, God's been using you. For some of you, you're absolutely thrilled and elated at what's been happening. At others of you, you may be a little discouraged because your crowds are low, or you have one person coming or nobody coming, and so you're feeling a little uncomfortable about that. But let me share this with you. As you go over these messages, God will build into the fabric of your own life a deeper understanding of His Word. And what you are learning as you go through this first series, He's going to impress upon your mind deeply so that you can use it again and again and again. And I just want you to know that Jesus is going to use this, and there will be results as the result of your preaching. You may not see them now as a layperson, but 2 years from now, 3 years from now, somebody's going to come up to you and say, you know, I sat in that meeting, and I wasn't too interested then, but I remember what you taught me. Or somebody sitting in your meetings is going to tell somebody about the truth that they've learned, and they're going to tell somebody else, and they're going to tell somebody else, and they're going to take this outline, and they're going to pass it on, and somebody's going to mark the Bible, and when you're going to meet people in heaven that have not even been to your meetings, but were influenced through your meetings by somebody who came or by a piece of paper that they picked up. So I just want to tell you that I praise God for each of you that are courageous enough to hold this series. The topic that we are going to discuss in this sixth session is a question that is raised probably more than any other by people that don't believe. They ask the question, if God is a God of love, why is the world so bad? If God really loves, why is there so much sickness and suffering and heartache and sorrow in the world? Has anybody ever asked you that question? If God is a God of love, why did my father die of a heart attack? If God is a God of love, why did my little kid get leukemia? If God is a God of love, why is there so much suffering in the world? Let me see your hands. Has anybody ever asked you that question? If God is a God of love, why is there so much suffering? Well, this presentation helps to answer that question. Now, the presentation begins, of course, with that wonderful illustration of the insurance company. Some of you have already been over your notes, so you know it. There was a man living in Lake Worth, Florida. And as he was repairing a high-tension wire, he was shocked. But the interesting thing about it is that as he was shocked by these high-power electrical lines, it was in the time of an electrical storm. And so the insurance company refused to pay because they said, we can't control these high-powered electrical storms of thunder and lightning. We can't control those. So they said, in the insurance policy, this is an act of God. So our insurance policy doesn't cover acts of God. So the person sued all 26 of the churches in Lake Worth, Florida, brought a lawsuit against them. He said, you guys are representatives of God, and if this is an act of God and my insurance policy doesn't cover this, you guys better pay up. A pastor of one of the churches went to court to argue about this phrase in the insurance policy, an act of God. And the pastor argued this way, this is not an act of God, it's an act of Satan. The act of God causing insurance policies would be better termed act of Satan. Do you agree? God didn't cause that lightning to knock that person off the ladder, did he? This leads us from the introduction to our key text, and we find that text in Matthew, the 13th chapter. So if you have your Bible, please turn to Matthew 13. Now, how are these lectures structured? Once you understand the structure, you can flow through. They're really divided into 4 parts. There is an illustration that captures the attention. That leads into a textual portion that leads you through the text of the sermons. That leads to the 3rd portion, which is either historical statements or more illustrations that drive home the point, which leads to the 4th portion that's an appeal. So the 4 parts again are introduction, Bible text, historical statements and illustrations, and appeal. The sermons move in that direction. The sermon always starts with what we've tried to include, the theme text. Theme text in this, and sometimes there are 2, is Matthew chapter 13, verse 37 to 39. Matthew 13, verse 37 to 39. Here's the theme text. It's the story of Jesus sowing seeds, or the farmer sowing seeds in the field, and as he sows good seed in the field, there are tares that spring up. The question is asked, if you sowed only good seed, where'd the tares come from? And the answer is, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 39, it says, the enemy who sowed them is the what? Devil. and the harvest is the end of the world. So God does not sow evil seeds in the field. He's not responsible for the tares, the sickness, suffering, heartache, sorrow, or death. He's not responsible for the war, the disasters. Who does this? Matthew 13, verse 39 says, a what? What does it say there, everybody? And what? Enemy has done this. So there's an enemy of God and man. What's another name for the enemy? What is that? The devil? What's another name for that? Satan? What's another name for that? Lucifer. So he's the devil, he's the dragon, he's Satan, he's Lucifer, he's the serpent. An enemy has what? Done this. We then, in the sermon, go to reveal where the enemy came from. Did God create a demon? Did God create this enemy? The Bible reveals where he came from. Now, this is quite surprising. Revelation chapter 12, and you want to have your audience turn to it or to read it from the screen. It would be better for them to read it from the screen. All the key texts I will have my audience read. I do not have them read every text. Why don't we have our audience read every text? Two reasons. If you have them read every text, your sermon is going to go from about 45 to 50 minutes to about an hour and 20 minutes. So you do not have them read every text. Secondly, if you overstate, it understates. What do I mean by that? Have you ever read a book? Have you ever looked in somebody's books and you looked on a page and every line was underlined? Then you looked on the next page and every line was underlined? And you looked on the next page and every line was underlined? If you over-underline, why did you underline in the first place? If the function of underline is to have something stand out and you underline everything, nothing stands out. So if you have people read every text, then pretty soon they fail to grasp the significant ones. So throughout the sermon, choose, I would say, five texts. Choose about five that you want them to read with you. And so I would certainly have them read Revelation 12, verse 7 to 9. And if you have your Bible here in class, take it. And if you're following along, look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 to 9. And let's read Revelation 12, verse 7 to 9. Do you have it? Revelation, what's the chapter? 12. And what's the verse? Chapter 12, verse 7 through 9. Here we go. Now, if we were preaching this, we'd of course have it on the screen in the DVD. Revelation 12, verse 7 to 9. And war, let's read together. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and the dragon and his angels. War broke out where, everybody? In heaven. That's a strange place for war, isn't it? But where did war break out? Up in heaven. So hell is not a hot spot in the center of the earth with the devil, with horns and a pitchfork. No, the Bible says war broke out in heaven. I wonder, how did this devil get up there in heaven? Did God create a demon? Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. Do you see what the sermons do? They answer questions that people have in their minds. Ezekiel chapter 28. Starting with verse 12. I'm on page 4 in your notebooks. Ezekiel 28, verse 12. It says, you were the seal of perfection. King James Version, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. So when God created Lucifer, he was created perfect. Verse 15, you were perfect in your ways. So God did not create a demon, he created a perfect angel. We go through the sermon, we show how God created this perfect angel but gave him the power of choice. Now follow me closely. If you take away the power of choice, you take away the ability to love. Because love can never be forced. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever seen a square circle? How many of you have seen a circular triangle? You say to me, Pastor Mark, you cannot have a square circle. No, you can't. And you cannot have a triangle that's round. No, you can't. And you can't have love that's forced. Are you with me? Because if it's forced, it is not what? Love. So if you want creatures to love, you must give them what, everybody? Choice. And if you give them choice, if it's real choice, you have to run the possibility they make the wrong choice. God created a perfect being, Lucifer, in heaven. He gave him the power of choice because he wanted him to have the ability to love. And if you can't have the ability to, if you don't have the ability to choose, you can't have the ability to love. And if you don't have the ability to love, you can't have the ability to be fully happy. And you become like a mosquito or like an animal. Trees don't have any capacity to choose. And so God gave Lucifer the ability to choose so he would have the ability to love, so he could fully enjoy life and be fully happy. And he rebelled against that choice, and he rebelled against God, and ultimately was cast out of heaven. And God came knocking, and Satan came knocking on the door of this planet, and he led Adam and Eve in to make that choice, that false choice. We go through the sermon, and we point out that when Lucifer fell, and when Adam and Eve slipped away from God, we talk about that on pages 10 and 11, we talk about the fact that this world was plunged into sickness and disease and suffering and death. We point out on pages 14 and 15 how Job was caught in the midst of this controversy between good and evil. But we show that Jesus Christ came into this world. Jesus Christ came to reveal the Father's love. Jesus Christ came to die on the cross to bridge the separated gap between Adam and Eve and Lucifer. And we come and show that how ultimately through Jesus, Lucifer will be completely, totally destroyed. We come to the end of the sermon. And we read that marvelous text in John chapter 6 and verse 37. I know of no stronger text in the Bible that gives encouragement and hope to people to come to Jesus than John 6 verse 37. Jesus says here, John 6 verse 37, all the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will be in no wise cast out. Jesus says, come and I won't cast you out. Come with your sin, come with your guilt, come with your adultery, come with your heroin, come with your evil temper, come with your bitter spirit, come with your resentment. Jesus says, him that comes to me, I will what, everybody? I will what? In no wise do what? Cast you out. If you do the coming, will he ever cast you out? Never. Jesus longs to restore you to the family of God. I'm on the appeal, reading it like it is. Jesus longs to give you eternal life, but the decision must be made. Who be your Lord and Master? Friend, your decision is a life and death matter. Won't you choose to allow Christ to come into your life now? Come, come, come. Won't you just bow your head and say, yes, Jesus, you've said he that is comes to me, I'll in no wise cast out. So, Lord, I am coming. Coming with all my sin. There is a battle between good and evil. There's a battle in heaven between Lucifer and Jesus. There's a battle in the Garden of Eden between Lucifer and Adam and Eve. There's been a battle down through the ages between Christ and Satan. We've seen tonight that Jesus is not the author of sickness and suffering and heartache and disease. Satan is. We've seen that there's a battle for our soul. And tonight Jesus has come. And let me win the battle in your life. Would you like to come as we pray? Father, there's a battle between good and evil, between Christ and Satan. And we come now in this battle. Oh Lord, may we be gloriously victorious through Christ. May Satan be vanquished now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.